We're going to read the Word of God this morning from John 6, beginning with verse 32. John 6, beginning with verse 32. Then said Jesus unto them, he's talking to the people who had witnessed that wonderful miracle of the feeding of 5,000 people with a few loaves and fishes. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews, therefore, strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. And that's as far as we read God's word this morning. We're going to read also from the Heidelberg Catechism, two questions and answers, 78 and 79, which, if you want to follow with me, are found on page 17 in the back of the Psalter. In connection with what Jesus says in John 6, verse 53, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. In connection with that, our focus this morning is on the teaching of the Heidelberg Catechism in those two questions and answers. Do then the bread and wine become the very body and blood of Christ? That's one explanation of what Jesus says in John 6, 53. The answer of the Heidelberg Catechism is, not at all. But as the water in baptism is not changed into the blood of Christ, neither is the washing away of sin itself, being only the sign and confirmation thereof appointed of God, so the bread in the Lord's Supper is not changed into the very body of Christ, though agreeably to the nature and properties of sacraments, it is called the body of Christ Jesus. And then 79, why then doth Christ call the bread his body and the cup his blood, or the new covenant in his blood? And Paul, the communion of the body and blood of Christ. Christ speaks thus not without great reason, namely, not only thereby to teach us that as bread and wine support this temporal life, so his crucified body and shed blood are the true meat and drink whereby our souls are fed to eternal life. But more especially by these visible signs and pledges to assure us that we are as really partakers of his true body and blood by the operation of the Holy Ghost as we receive by the mouth of our bodies these holy signs and remembrance of him, and that all his sufferings and obedience are as certainly ours as if we had in our own persons suffered and made satisfaction for our sins to God. And one more thing by way of beginning this morning's sermon, a few words from the Confession of Faith. I'm reading really just one sentence which begins at the bottom of page 52 and at the top of page 53 in the back of the Psalter, part of Article 35 of the Confession of Faith. In the meantime, that's the sentence, in the meantime, we err not when we say that what is eaten and drunk by us in the Lord's Supper is the proper and natural body and the proper blood of Christ. The confession of faith is affirming that, not denying it, but affirming it. What do you think of that? My dear friends, what is eaten and drunk by us is the proper and natural body and the proper blood of Christ. Does that sound to you like the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church? We'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. It isn't the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church. It's the teaching of Reformed churches, going all the way back to the great Protestant Reformation and the time when this confession of faith was written. Back then, they believed, and that wasn't the same as Roman Catholicism, they believed that what is eaten and drunk by us in the Lord's Supper is the proper and natural body and the proper blood of Christ. And that's not only the teaching of the confession of faith, of those who wrote that confession, of the men whom God used so wonderfully at the time of the Protestant Reformation, but that's the teaching of Jesus in John 6, verse 53. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. And then two, of course, verses 54 and 55, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. So the theme of this morning's sermon, connection with all those different things that we read, is eating and drinking Christ. Eating and drinking Christ. We're going to talk about the fact that we really do that. And by the way, though the focus this morning is on the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, we do that when the word is preached as well. But our focus is on the Lord's Supper. In the Lord's Supper, we really do eat and drink Christ. And then by way of explaining that, we're going to look at the fact that we do that spiritually. Spiritually. And finally, of course, that follows that we eat and drink Christ blessedly. No greater blessing than that. Really, spiritually, blessedly. In the Heidelberg Catechism, if you'll turn back to that, Lord's Day 29, questions and answers 78 and 79, the Heidelberg Catechism first rejects the idea promoted by the Roman Catholic Church for centuries, the idea that when the priest blesses the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper, or as they call it, the Eucharist, that the bread and wine are changed. changed, transformed into the body and blood of Christ. They still look like bread and wine. They still smell and taste like bread and wine. But in fact, what you are eating is no longer bread and wine, but the actual flesh and blood of Christ. And from that follow all kinds of other things in the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church. Among them, the idea that that bread and wine, because they've been transformed into the flesh and blood of Jesus, can be worshipped. That idea is rejected by the Heidelberg Catechism. And Lutheranism, as you probably know, teaches something very similar. That though the bread and wine are not changed into the flesh and blood of Jesus, when they're blessed, suddenly the flesh and blood of Jesus are there, though invisibly, there with the bread and the wine of the Lord's Supper. And in rejecting the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church, that teaching is really rejected here in the Heidelberg Catechism as well. As the water in baptism is not changed into the blood of Christ, neither is the washing away of sin itself, being only the sign and confirmation thereof, appointed of God. And if you think about it, it's not so hard to understand why it really can't be that way. Eating and drinking with our mouths and throats and stomachs, the flesh and blood of Christ, does us no good. It can't do us any good. To have Christ in your stomach is not what you and I need. We need him in our souls. And for that reason alone, we reject, disagree with the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church and of the Lutheran churches. But as the Roman Catholics and Lutherans insist, Christ said when he instituted the Lord's Supper, referring to the bread and to the wine, "This is my body." And to the wine, "This is my blood." How do you explain that? There's a story, you know, about a conference between the Swiss reformers and the Lutherans. And this was what they were discussing, the whole matter of the Lord's Supper, because that was the main thing that divided them from each other at the time of the Reformation. But when everything was said and done, the story is that Luther wrote on the table with his finger, "This is my body." He couldn't get past the idea that somehow or other, the actual flesh and blood of Jesus were there in the Lord's Supper. As I said, we reject that. But how do we explain those words of Jesus? "This is my body. This cup is the New Testament in my blood." Well, the answer in the Heidelberg Catechism is that agreeably to the nature and properties of sacraments, the bread is called the body of Christ. And the Heidelberg Catechism is simply referring there to the fact, and that's an important thing to understand when you think about those words of Jesus. The Heidelberg Catechism is simply explaining the fact that signs are often called by the name of the thing that they point to. Let me give you an example of that. If you're traveling west of here to the town of Cheney and following I-90 west, you come to one or another of the Cheney exits, and there will be the sign there that says Cheney and points in the direction of that town. And you'll probably say, because you're on the way to that town, you'll say, there's Cheney. Well, the fact of the matter is you can't even see the town yet, and that sign, that green sign, isn't Cheney. But you call the sign by the name of the thing when you say, there it is. And that's what we have in the Lord's Supper. We call the sign, the bread, by the name of the thing to which it points. And that's one of the functions of the Lord's Supper, too. The bread, there's no magical virtue in the bread, but the bread is part of the Lord's Supper to point you to the broken body and shed blood too, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Because, if I may use that expression, that's where you must go. If you stay with the bread and wine, all it will do is give you something in your stomach. But if you follow the sign in the direction it points, you will come to Christ crucified. And Jesus talks about that in John 6. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Salvation is not in water. Salvation is not in bread and wine, but in Jesus Christ alone. We have the sacrament, however. It's good to remember that, because we always need to be pointed to Christ. In our trials, in our weaknesses, our struggles, and all of the rest, we need to hear again, Christ is the one. Christ is the way. Salvation is in Christ alone. And God has given us the sacraments, because even though we have the preaching of the word every Lord's Day, our faith is still weak. And God, instead of being angry with us and saying to us, I've told you 1,000 times, and you still don't understand? You still don't get it as you should? That Christ is everything? Instead of being angry with us, as we might be angry with our children, God gives us the sacraments and says to us in the sacrament, look, and in the Lord's Supper, taste, see, this is the way. It is. Signs points us in a very vivid way to Christ, who we hear every Lord's Day in the preaching of the gospel. Having rejected and explained in question 78, question 79 of the Heidelberg Catechism goes on to say, but we do believe in the real presence of Christ in the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is not just a remembrance, but we really do eat and drink Christ in the Lord's Supper. Has to be that way. Otherwise, really, there would have been no reason for the Lord's Supper. If it's just a remembrance, it doesn't amount to much. But if it's eating and drinking Christ, then self-examination is necessary. Then it really is a sacrament instituted by Christ himself in the church. And then there's real blessing in the Lord's Supper as well. But that leaves the question, how do we eat and drink Christ in the Lord's Supper? We've already said, not with our mouths and throats and stomachs, hands. Take the bread, take the wine. That isn't the way. But how then? Well, the answer is very simple to that, and that's by faith. By faith, we take Christ. By faith, we eat Christ. Faith is many, many things. But it's also eating and drinking Christ. It's why faith is so wonderful and why faith has to be a gift of God. Faith takes, eats, drinks Christ, and drinks him not so that he's in our stomachs, but in our soul. With all his merits, with all his obedience, with his perfect work of atoning for our sins, we have him in us by faith. That's what the Heidelberg Catechism is saying in question 79 and its answer. His crucified body are the true meat and drink whereby our souls are fed to eternal life. And that, if you go back to that article from the Confession of Faith, is what the Confession of Faith teaches too. Remember that statement. What's eaten and drunk by us is the proper and natural body and the proper blood of Christ. But the manner of our partaking of the same is not by the mouth, but by the Spirit through faith. Thus, then, the Confession of Faith goes on. Thus, then, Though Christ always sits at the right hand of his Father in heaven, yet doth he not therefore cease to make us partakers of himself by faith? And where would we be if he ever failed to do that? This feast is a spiritual table at which Christ communicates himself with all his benefits to us and gives us there to enjoy both himself and the merits of his sufferings and death, nourishing, strengthening, and comforting our poor, comfortless souls. By the eating of his flesh, quickening and refreshing them by the drinking of his blood. And in that same article, you could read it for yourself. It's too long to read in its entirety this morning. In that same article, very beautifully, the Confession of Faith says something that even the children can understand. And that helps you and I to understand what happens by faith and by faith alone in the Lord's Supper. It calls faith the hand and the mouth of our souls. The hand and mouth of our soul, because the soul must eat and be fed. As Jesus himself says, except ye eat my flesh and drink my blood, ye have no life in you. You see? By faith, we lay hold on Christ in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. By faith, we eat and drink Christ, so that he, Christ crucified and risen again, is in us. He in us, and we in him. And that, of course, is what Jesus says in John 6, too. He says it already. When the Jews were talking about the manna that came down from heaven, Jesus says that manna wasn't any different from the bread of the Lord's Supper. Your fathers did eat that bread and are dead. I am the bread of life. And then by way of explaining how he, the bread of life, feeds and nourishes our souls, he says, he that cometh to me. And remember that coming to Jesus is faith. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Says that again a little further on from what we read this morning. Verse 63. It's the Spirit that quickeneth and giveth life. The flesh profiteth nothing. And that because the Jews were saying to him, how's this man going to give us pieces of his body to chew on? And who is he to say that he came down from heaven? We know his dad and mom. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. And they are life. Spiritually, you see. So, sum that all up. When the sacrament of the Lord's Supper is administered here, then there really are two of everything. There's this table, but there's another table too. The Lord's table, in a way that this can never be the Lord's table. And that table, by the way, is in heaven. That's why the form for the Lord's Supper says that we have, our hearts have to be lifted up to heaven, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Two tables and two feasts. The one is bread and wine, as signs and seals of Christ's crucified body and shed blood. But the other feast is Christ himself. Two ways of eating and drinking. The one with the mouth, the other by faith. And the wonderful thing about faith is not only that it's able to find its way to that heavenly table and find its place there, a place purchased by the blood of Christ, but faith feeds on Christ there in heaven. And he's there as the giver of the feast, as the food and drink of that feast, as the source of every blessing. Two feasts, not one. The sacrament and the heavenly spiritual reality. But that's why it's possible too, and I hope and pray that's never the case with you or me. It's possible to come to this table and only have there a piece of bread and a little bit of wine and nothing else. That's why faith is necessary in coming to the Lord's table, and why we have to examine ourselves as far as our faith is concerned. Because faith will go from here to that other feast in heaven, which is, and you can write it in your minds in capital letters, to that other feast in heaven, which is the Lord's Supper. Not this. You see? But the sacrament is there to teach us. And it teaches even the children. It says to them as well as to those of us who have been at the Lord's table, Christ is to my soul what food and drink are to my body. Nothing else will keep me alive spiritually. Nothing else will make me strong and healthy spiritually. But Christ himself, and the sacrament says this too, as really, as I eat that bread and drink that wine, so really, by faith, does Christ dwell in me and I in Christ. Christ my life, Christ my blessedness, Christ my hope, my peace, my joy, my everything. And until he comes again in all his glory, said that at that first institution, I will not eat and drink with you again until the kingdom of God, until he comes again. Sacrament of the Lord's Supper directs our faith to him. Doesn't it? Because if it doesn't do that, it doesn't do anything. But it does, doesn't it? It speaks to our faith. Shows us the way. Leads us in the way. Leads us always and again to him. Amen.